It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Welcome to the show. It's Monday, July 6th. I'm Lynn Pickering. Later, I'll speak to Lisa Learning of Mahone Bay, Nova Scotia. When her two young sons contracted Lyme disease, Lisa set out to create a spray which would act as a repellent to ticks. Now, 10 years later, her Health Canada approved spray is on the market. Also, I'll repeat my conversation with Gareth Williams of Border Control Bird Dogs about his border collie's job keeping Canada geese off the Centennial Park soccer pitch in Toronto, where World Cup athletes have been training. But up first, Reaching for Rainbows. The not-for-profit that has been providing a safe space for girls for 15 years is launching a fundraising campaign tomorrow. To learn more, I'm joined by Beth LaFay, Executive Director of Reaching for Rainbows. Welcome to the Monday Grapevine, Beth.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
For those who are unaware, why was Reaching for Rainbows formed 15 years ago?
So Reaching for Rainbows was a grassroots initiative that was brought on by the Circle of Friends at what is now known as the Andrew. They identified that there was, you know, space in the building that would be perfect for an after-school program. And when they were targeting the population and trying to figure out who would benefit most from a program that they were able to deliver, they chose girls. Because the community at the time in the early 2000s was experiencing a lot of teen pregnancies. And so when that was prevalent in the community in Prince Edward County, Lynn Donovan and the team of educators that she was working with through the Hastings Prince Edward School Board and retired teachers and folks like that, they had just figured that it's going to be daughters that are the most affected of single moms and single families.
Well, young girls are vulnerable to many unhealthy influences, some more than others. Who is eligible to join Reaching for Rainbows?
So we have what we call a low barrier intake process. So eligibility is basically based off of their age. So between the ages of 6 and 12 is what our daycare license is for. We are licensed by the Ministry of Education as a child care center. And so as long as the parent or guardian can identify something that the child is struggling with, we just kind of take note of that in our intake process. So we don't need a doctor's note. We don't require like a referral from a social service agency. Those are often ways in which the girls do come to us at Reaching for Rainbows. So, you know, some of the girls might be struggling in school, whether it's academic or socially. Some of the girls might be having a hard time making friends. Maybe they're new to the community and just don't really understand the dynamic or having a hard time fitting in. Some of the girls might be experiencing some family complexities. So maybe parents are going through a separation, or maybe a grandparent has passed away. There can be all sorts of different things that the girls are experiencing in their lives. But I think it's really important to mention, as you had said, Lynn, that girls are disproportionately affected by poverty and by violence. So that's why the program is particularly, like, specifically for girls.
And how many girls would you have registered throughout the year? It runs during the school year?
Yeah, so typically Reaching for Rainbows has ran October to May. This year we're opening up our doors a little bit early in September, and hopefully that can help parents and educators to help get their daughters back into the swing of things for school and have more support during that process. Transitions can be hard for kids sometimes. So we are licensed for 30 girls. And we have 15 girls at each time. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, the seniors come, and those are 10 to 12-year-olds. And on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have the juniors, and the juniors are 6 to 9.
I was very impressed, Beth, with the variety of programs available. First, tell me about the white shoes the girls received when they joined Reaching for Rainbows.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the activities that staff at Reaching for Rainbows plan for the girls started out like really simple, right? Like when kids go to school, they have to have indoor shoes. So it's the same at a after school program. But somebody got the idea to purchase canvas shoes, like plain canvas shoes. And it was the first activity that the girls did as part of an art therapy project that is led by the Lotus Hero Project. So the Lotus Hero Project is a fundraiser that happens every year. They are also a nonprofit organization that does programming for children and facilitates art therapy. So Reaching for Rainbows was selected a couple of years ago to participate in some of that programming. And this year will be our fourth year that we're doing it. And yeah, so the girls got to decorate their shoes and express themselves through art in that way. And then our staff just kind of continued on with it because it became a little bit of a signature. Like it's something that the girls look forward to every year is decorating their own shoes.
Well, I just thought it was so creative and fun.
And we learn so much about the girls when they do stuff like that too, right? Like, you know, they tell us what they're thinking and what colors they're choosing. And it's always connected to their life in some way, shape or form.
Well, just looking at your Facebook page, Beth, there are so many adventures that are on there. Let's talk about a few, like the trip to Josh's Diner in Carrying Place.
Yeah, so Josh's Diner, we took the volunteers for Volunteer Recognition Month, and we went for dinner together, and we also did a line dancing class with Barbara, which was a wonderful opportunity for our volunteers to spend some time together and just have fun, you know, like things can be challenging in the playroom sometimes, and the girls are dealing with heavy stuff. So I think it's important, you know, especially volunteers need to feel appreciated and respected and celebrated. And so that's what we decided to do for them for volunteer recognition this month was go for dinner and dance together.
Well, you clearly have a lot of volunteers with great areas of talent and creativity. But another event that caught my eye for the girls was the South Shore Joint Initiative in April. Another fun, creative event.
Yeah, so we had Cheryl come from, I think it's called Wild Things. And we wanted to celebrate Earth Day in a good way. And we wanted the girls to get an opportunity to connect with the world around them, to connect with like our community in Prince Edward County, because there's so much beauty and so much nature that needs to be protected. And so the South Shore Joint Initiative came and taught the girls how to build bird boxes and learned about the birds that nest in bird boxes.
And then the theme for May was, how can I be courageous? That's pretty interesting. I think we can all learn about that. You had a high ropes course. What was that?
Yeah, so we got some funding through the County Foundation Huff Family Fund. And this year, the team decided to direct the programming around science, technology, engineering, and math because women and girls are underrepresented in those jobs. And so, interestingly enough, girls are doing better in school academically, but they're not entering those fields of jobs once they complete high school and go out into college and university. So the STEM program gives the girls the opportunity at a very, very young age to engage with science, technology, engineering, and math. And so the reason that we chose the high ropes course was that it would kind of feed two birds with one worm. And so the whole thought was that they get the opportunity to do the high ropes course and to test their courage and to test their bravery. But they also get the opportunity to learn about the structure itself and how the structure was built and how that structure supports certain weight and how tall it is and, you know, the materials that went into building it. So when the girls actually went through the course, there were so many wonderful things that happened that day. There were a lot of girls that were nervous about going up at those heights. And so
I just interrupt for a moment, Beth, because you're saying that this high ropes course is an actual structure that the girls would climb and okay.
Yeah. It's in Trenton. It's called Homestead Adventure Park, and it's these poles that have bases on them and then ladders that connect all of the poles. And so the girls get brought up into the structure by trained professionals who have pulleys and ropes and clips that make sure that the girls are all safe. And then they walk the structure. They have to find their way through the structure like a course, like a scavenger hunt kind of idea. And so I'd say that we probably had 15 girls that went on the field trip that day, because we take the seniors for the STEM programming that worked their way through. And then a couple of them chose not to because, yeah, they didn't want to, and we don't force them to do anything that they don't want to do. So there was a couple that participated in the mini putt, which is math. So the girls got to learn about like angles and triangles and that kind of stuff. So it was good. But yeah, we love doing programming that's planting seeds. So somebody might not think of a high ropes course as being engineering, but for a 10-year-old, it is. That's how you're going to get a 10-year-old interested in engineering, right? So yeah, we really felt like that was a good way to end our program for the year, having the girls test their courage and see if they can make it through the high ropes course. And a couple of the girls that don't typically interact with each other in the playroom will interact with each other outside of the playroom. And I think that's a really important aspect of the field trips that we do, whether it's STEM or whether it's sensory or, you know, whatever theme we're going off of throughout the years. But when we get the girls out of the environment that they're used to, like out of the playroom environment, they try new things and they interact with people that, although are in the program, they might not play with in the playroom. So it is really important to take them out on those adventures, as you were saying, Lynn.
Well, since Reaching for Rainbows began 15 years ago, I'm sure there are many girls, young women now, maybe mothers themselves, who have been impacted by the program. Do you hear about what Reaching for Rainbows has meant to them?
Yeah, the first year that I started at Rainbows in 2024, we had a young lady who returned as a volunteer, who returned as a mentor. And it was very striking to listen to her talk about her experience and talk about what Rainbows meant to her. I remember her saying that it was just a safe space for her to go, you know, like it was the simplicity behind it. She felt like she was a bad kid. That's what she had told us. She said, I was such a bad kid and you guys were so good to me. And I think it's so important that we find ways to continue to engage with them, because they should never feel like they were a bad kid in the first place. They can learn to reflect on, I was acting out because I was going through a tough time, but I still deserved support. And so that was one of the interactions that I've had with an alumni, with a graduate. I also met some ladies over at the Rock Youth Services this year. We did a body positivity workshop and we collaged on mannequins. And so we had like an all-girls space where the teenagers were able to just talk about things that were relevant to them as girls in a safe space. And so we talked about mental health and we talked about body positivity and we talked about toxic diet culture and all sorts of things like that. And out of the 7 girls that I had in the group, 5 of them had told me that they went to Rainbows when they were kids. Yeah. So they're feeling that support in the community, and they know that they come from a community that wants girls to succeed and wants girls to feel safe. And I thought that it was just so cathartic or ironic that I was hosting these workshops and then running into girls who had already spent time at Rainbows and understood what it was that we do there.
Well, you're launching a fundraising drive tomorrow, July 7th to September 7th. What is your goal?
We're hoping to raise $10,000 in the 2 months that we're doing the fundraising campaign.
$10,000 to me seems a modest amount, given the work you do. How will that money be used?
The money that we raise for our fundraising campaigns, it goes towards our operations. So the county foundation would call it the unsexy money. So, you know, it goes to paying rent, it goes to buying food, it goes to paying the insurance that we have to purchase in order to run the quality program that we have that's going in the community. So that's what the amount is for.
And who will you be approaching to contribute to the campaign?
So typically what happens throughout the campaign period is that we do like a social media blast. We work with 99.3 County FM to talk about what we do on the radio station. And we send out newsletters to our donor list to really update them on what it is that we've been doing and the impact that we have. And then we call on local businesses to do fundraisers for us. And so in the past, Harry's Charbroiled has done like a sandwich fundraiser where $2 of every fish sandwich sold on a particular day goes towards Rainbows. Some of the other fundraisers that have happened have also been some of the fitness studios in the community will do a fitness class and donate all of the proceeds to Rainbows on a particular day. So that's what we hope for when we're doing our community fundraisers, is that businesses, small businesses, will step up and help us with that fundraising and support our mission of supporting girls. Last year, Rainbows was the beneficiary for the Big Lake Arts Community Impact Concert. And so some of those ticket sales were donated towards Reaching for Rainbows as well.
Now, how can people make a donation if they're listening now? And certainly what we've been talking about shows that the wonderful work you're doing. If they'd like to make a donation now, how would they go about it?
If they go onto the Canada Helps website, they can search Reaching for Rainbows and make a donation through the website. Or they can go onto our website, reachingforrainbows.com, and there's a donate page on our website as well.
All right. Now, Reaching for Rainbows annual general meetings, Friday, July 24th at 1:30 p.m. at the Andrew. Is that open to the public?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our annual general meeting is always open to the public, and we are excited to share all of the progress that we have made the past year and share out some of the numbers for impact and keep doing what we're doing and being accountable and transparent in the community.
Well, I want to thank you for speaking to me today, Beth. It sounds like you're doing wonderful work, and I'm sure you'll reach that $10,000 goal.
Thank you, Lynn.
Beth LaFay is the Executive Director of Reaching for Rainbows. To learn more about the organization, to volunteer, or to donate, go to the website, reachingforrainbows.com. And follow on Facebook to see photos of the various activities and events. Up next on The Grapevine, a botanical spray that repels ticks and mosquitoes. You're listening to 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.